This is The Eels with I Like Birds, an animal tune to ease us into today's special edition of Talking Animals. Sitting in for Rob Loride today, my name's Duncan Strauss, here with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. For more information about the show, which just celebrated its fifth anniversary, and details about past guests, as well as archives and iTunes podcasts, I invite you to visit our website, talkinganimals.net. In a few minutes, we'll be speaking with today's guest, Michael Mountain, president and one of the founders of Best Friends Animal Society, which operates the nation's largest sanctuary for abused and abandoned animals, including more than 20 of the Michael Vick dogs. They also implement a broad slate of animal welfare programs and campaigns while remaining prepared to mobilize quickly for animals when disasters hit, as they've done after the recent Iowa flooding, after Katrina, after that earthquake in Peru, and many other instances. We'll find out more about Best Friends Animals Society when we speak with Michael Mountain in a few moments here on Talking Animals. And as usual, we'll also welcome your questions and comments at 813-239-9663 or by email at dj@wmnf.org. Also, a little bit later in the show, we'll step into the Comedy Corner. We'll play Name That Animal Tune. The winner will receive a great book. And we'll have a very, very brief chat with Linda Hamilton of the Animal Coalition of Tampa about a terrific program underway there this month. Right now, though, it's time for a segment resurrected from the old hour-long incarnation of Talking Animals, Animal News and Announcements, a more detailed look at items of interest in animal news, as well as announcements of some events, something we just don't really have the time for in the half-hour version. So let's turn now to interesting and or notable developments in animal news. Typically, these are local, regional, national, occasionally international stories of note that we want to call attention to. We also want to get your comments. You're welcome to call in or email in. Let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department, our first item involves the Iowa flood that I just alluded to, and we'll certainly, I'm sure, touch on that when we speak later with Michael Mountain. But we have an important bulletin from the Farm Sanctuary, whose president, Gene Bauer, was actually a guest of ours April 9th. Farm Sanctuary's emergency rescue team is currently on the ground in Oakville, Iowa, saving pigs stranded in the Mississippi River floods and providing them with emergency care and temporary shelter. Thankfully, they say our efforts are providing successful as we now have 69 pigs in our custody. Many are in critical condition, suffering from injuries, pneumonia, and third-degree sunburns, and are receiving urgent care. Now, as rescue efforts continue, we must quickly secure a large number of adoptive homes for pigs. And among those they've rescued, they say, is a mother pig who gave birth to 7 piglets amidst the floods. And she and her babies have survived that ordeal, but this mother now needs a safe place to call home and nurture and raise her piglets, as do those other pigs. So they're seeking anybody who can adopt one or more of these pigs. And you can contact Farm Animal Adoption Network by calling 607-585-2225, extension 223, or emailing shelter@farmsanctuary.org. And, of course, not surprisingly, they could use an extra donation or two if you're so inclined, and you can just go to their overall website, farmsanctuary.org, to help out in that way. More locally, I saw this sort of disturbing story, as you may have, from an Oldsmar man was arrested for animal cruelty after Pinellas County deputies say he dangled a dog from a moving car last week. A witness said Jack Hugh Brown of Oldsmar was driving a white Chevy van eastbound on Tampa Road about 4 p.m. Thursday, deputy said. While driving at a speed of about 45 miles per hour, deputy said Brown dangled a dog out the window. The dog, a 1.5-year-old male Bichon Yorkie mix, was on a retractable leash, the witness said. The witness further stated he saw the dog bouncing off the roadway, off the side of the van. At one point, saw the dog go underneath the van between the two left tires. Brown eventually let go of the leash and continued driving, deputies said. But, here we go, deputies later arrested Brown for felony animal cruelty. Deputy said dog had several scrapes and scratches, but otherwise somehow managed to emerge intact. This is a story, a dateline from Reno, Nevada, from the Associated Press. Animal rights activists and ranchers are clashing over a federal proposal to euthanize wild horses as a way to deal with their surplus numbers. Horse advocates will mount a campaign against the proposal announced late last month by the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, said Chris Hyde, Deputy Director of Government and Legal Affairs for the Animal Welfare Institute, based in Washington, D.C. Federal officials said they are faced with tough choices because wild horses have overpopulated public lands in the West and they no longer can afford to care for the number of animals that have been rounded up. But Hyde maintained the agency is seeking a, quote, magic bullet, unquote, for budget problems caused after it began rounding up the Mustangs at an unprecedented rate in recent years. He said the roundups left too many horses for the public to adopt, requiring the agency to contract for more private long-term holding facilities. Again, any thoughts on that or any other stories? Or anything else you'd like to bring to our attention in the animal realm? 813-239-9663 or dj@wmnf.org. And back locally again for our feline friends. This Saturday, July 12th, the North Central Florida Cat Club and Buccaneer Cat Fanciers will host a Cat Fanciers Association Cat Show at the Minreg Building, 6340 126th Avenue North in Largo. The hours are from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., and sounds like there'll be all kinds of cats and things to do and things to see and enjoy. So for more information, you can call 727-799-2214. And looks like we got some calls here. Hi, you're on WMNF. You're on Talking Animals on WMNF. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals.
Yeah.
Hi, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you who's going to win the Tour de France.
Okay, go ahead.
George and Gabby.
Okay, cool. Thanks for calling. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals.
Yes, I need more information on the BLM and the wild horses for adoption.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's probably easy enough to search. There's, you know, the Bureau of Land Management is sort of the key department there. And this specifically was reported from Reno, Nevada by the Associated Press. So that might be the best way to track that info.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day. What a great program.
Hey, thanks. Thanks a lot.
All right.
Thank you very much. Okay. So, yeah. So that's it with the Cat Fanciers. I think it's 727-799-2214 for the big one-day cat show this Saturday, July 12th in Largo. And coming up on the following Saturday, SPCA Tampa Bay is making a strike for homeless and abused animals Saturday, July 19th at Seminole Lanes, 8668 Park Boulevard in Largo. Come out for family bowling from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. or with a corporate team from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Teams of five will battle to see who can raise the most money for the animals at the SPCA. To find out more and to register, call 727-586-3591, extension 163, or simply check out spcatampabay.org. And to close things out, perhaps, here on a lighter and or nuttier note, animal welfare groups must be panting. This is from the Wire Services as well. Leona Helmsley reportedly directed that her fortune, up to $8 billion, be used for the care and welfare of dogs. The New York Times reported last week that the bequest was included in a so-called mission statement for the estate of the real estate magnate who died last August. It's not certain that all the money will go to the dogs. However, the mission statement wasn't formally incorporated into Helmsley's will or trust documents. Estate trustees could, for example, decide to spend the money for animal rescue groups, veterinary schools, or research on canine diseases. The Hotel Queen will named her own dog Trouble as a beneficiary But the Maltese isn't quite as well healed as she used to be. In April, a Manhattan judge reduced the trust fund for the 9-year-old pooch from $12 million to $2 million. Still, I think a cat can live very comfortably on that. So, all right, well, that's going to conclude today's edition of our animal news and announcements. And we're going to step now into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which always involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Eddie Izzard with a piece called Talk to the Animals on today's Comedy Corner here on Talking Animals.
But, you know, whales, they're intelligent. They do whale song. We don't know what it means, but I think that whales are traveling at 78. They're traveling at 78 speed, and if we take them up to 45 speed, we'll find they're actually going, I love you, baby. It's quite all right, I love you, baby. Why don't I love you, baby? Question me, rather. Yeah, they're DJs, you see. DJs of the sea. Because sound travels well in water, and they need a big PA to be a DJ, but they've got their whole bodies. Yeah, it works, doesn't it? This next song is going out to all the goldfish down by the Azores. I love you, baby. So they're intelligent, and dolphins, they're intelligent, because we all saw the documentary Flipper. Well, dolphins came up going, what's that? What's that, Flip? Chiang Kai-shek is having trouble. Mao Zedong has taken over mainland China. Chiang Kai-shek has retired to Taiwan with some of his followers. Where they will have a complete disregard for international copyright rules. Is that what you're saying, Flip, or do you want fish? Because every time, every episode of Flipper, he'd say the same thing. Always having a problem. What's that? What? A boy trapped in a well, trapped in the water. Three boys fell out of a ship, a small ship, a big ship. Two syllables. Big ship, small ship. Sounds like. Sounds like the deep. Bit like the deep, bit of shark. Jaws, da-na-na-na, like that. What? Gone with the wind, gone with the wind. Okay. And they were all like that. There was Skippy. Yeah. What's that, Skip? A boy trapped, drowning in a desert. Drowning in a desert, in a desert. Ill. He's in a sandy place. He's ill. He's got a bad leg. What? Gone with the wind? And Lassie as well. What's that? You know, Lassie, Flippy, Skippy, all that E sound. Except for Flipper.
All right, that was Eddie Izzard with a piece called Talk to the Animals, taken from his album Circle. I'm Duncan Strauss, sitting in for Rob Loride today. Tomorrow, Mitch Perry will be in for Rob, featuring an interview with Rick Perlstein, author of the acclaimed new political book, Nixon Land. Meanwhile, this is Talking Animals. Our website is talkinganimals.net, where not only all our past programs are archived, but most are now available as podcasts and iTunes. For example, our show last week with author Garth Stein, and the one before that with Moby. We also have a link to the Talking Animals MySpace. Of course, we invite you to become our friend. And there's a place to subscribe to our semi-monthly email newsletter so we can keep you posted on forthcoming guests, program news, and remind you when the next show will air right here on WMNF. That's all at talkinganimals.net. It's nearly time to speak with today's guest, Michael Mountain. So let me quickly define a few important details about him. Outline, I should say. A few important details about him. As I touched on a moment ago, he's the president and one of the founders of Best Friends Animal Society, which operates the nation's largest sanctuary for abused and abandoned animals. Based in Utah, Best Friends is a sprawling, multifaceted organization that implements and maintains a broad slate of animal welfare programs and campaigns, and also stands at the forefront of crisis management and disaster response, whether that's mobilizing instantly for rescue efforts after Katrina or the recent Iowa flooding, or after Michael Vick was arrested, taking in more than 20 of the most abused fighting dogs. So an issue that's been in the news again actually in the last few days. So with a reminder that we invite you to join the conversation by calling 813-239-9663, or emailing us at dj@wmnf.org. Let's welcome Michael Mountain to Talking Animals. Are you there, Michael?
Good morning, Duncan.
How are you, sir? It's afternoon our time, but I'm sure morning in Utah.
Yes, I missed that for just a second, but it's a very beautiful morning out here near the Grand Canyon, sun shining on all the beautiful canyons, and all the animals having a great time.
Well, that sounds pretty idyllic, and of course we've obviously spoken a few times back when I was in California, but I've somehow not done a show related to best friends since I've been doing the program here. So while I'm sure there are some folks listening who are familiar with the organization, it might be wise and useful to spend at least part of this conversation on a bit of an overview. Maybe we could just start with the nickel tour of when and how Best Friends began.
Well, it actually began like many small local rescue groups. There are just so many of us out there who, you know, go out and help the local humane society, or you adopt a homeless dog or cat from a local rescue group or something like that. And a group of us were doing that down in Arizona, and found ourselves taking in all the ones that nobody else wanted to adopt. And, you know, that meant that they would come to a somewhat unhappy end. So we ended up with this collection of one-eyed, three-legged, slightly, slightly whatever, but infinitely lovable dogs and cats, and decided one day, you know, let's go and look for a place where we can set up a really beautiful animal sanctuary. And I guess there's a whole long story in there, but probably longer than we'd have time for today. But it did lead to what ended up becoming the nation's largest sanctuary for abused and abandoned animals.
Well, and Michael, that brings me to a perfect point, because a couple times in the course of the show, before introducing you, where again you said I used that phrase, and it is a pithy phrase and sounds impressive, but what exactly does that mean? Largest in terms of landmass, largest by number of animals on site there? Well, what are we talking about exactly?
But certainly all of the above. It is a big place. You know, it's a big canyon ranch out here, and on any given day we have about 2,000 dogs, cats, horses, bunnies, birds, other animals who come from shelters around the country, in fact, where obviously we can't take them all in, not by any means, but the work of the sanctuary itself is to give special care to the ones who shelters think, you know, have a good chance of being adopted if only they could get such and such surgery or be looked after behavior-wise or, you know, whatever they may need. So it starts there, but the work then extends out, you know, in rescue and spay neuter programs and similar all over the country. We've just got a team right now that's back from the Iowa floods, where they were off in swift boat rescue on the waters there, trying to get cats out of homes where they had to be left behind by people who were evacuating.
Yeah, well, that's certainly something I touched on in you know, introducing you and prior to that. So let's maybe, yeah, step a little bit more into that, because, I mean, that's sort of Best Friends, I guess, rapid response team really just has gained quite a reputation. I mean, Iowa and I think, if I'm not mistaken, sort of the first animal or national animal group that arrived in the wake of Katrina as well.
Yeah, we were the first group down there and ended up taking approximately 6,000 dogs and cats and other animals. You know, there were pigs and emus and lizards and, you know, all sorts of pocket pets and so on. And that was really the first time we'd done anything like this. And it meant setting up a whole sanctuary in itself outside of New Orleans, in Tylertown, Mississippi, and we had, again, on any given day, about 300 dogs and cats and so on there, too.
And Michael, because I earlier in the show I did a little news item about farm sanctuary being in Iowa as well, and at least for at that moment focusing on pigs. So is there a coordination between animal groups that do arrive at a place like the Iowa flooding and say, is farm sanctuary then just by the nature of what they typically do going to focus on pigs and those kind of animals, whereas Best Friends, dogs, cats, and others, miscellaneous, would be kind of more the emphasis of your efforts?
Yes, exactly. In fact, I was just on the phone with Gene Bohr. He's the director of Farm Sanctuary.
Yeah.
In fact, just a few minutes ago. And they have, I think he said, oh, I forget the number. I think 70 pigs they were bringing back to the Farm Sanctuary from Iowa.
Yeah.
That's a huge operation in itself. And farm pigs are very big, you know, bigger than a pig really should be. And so they've definitely got their work cut out for them. The way it actually works in these sort of rescue things is that you don't just sort of go in and say, oh, I think we'll rescue some animals here. There's a very specific protocol. You get invited in by the local authorities to designated areas. And so the best friend's designated area was a town called Oakville, Iowa, and Sam Sanctuary had been called in close by there. So we worked together, you know, just wherever we could, because just getting a pig onto a small boat is quite an event in itself, that we were able to help do some of that. But yeah, they were focusing mainly on the farm animals, and we were focusing mainly on the companion ones.
Sure, that makes a lot of sense. Well, we've got a few calls here, Michael. Let's see. Hi, you're on Talking Animals with Michael Mountain of Best Friends. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals with Michael Mountain of Best Friends.
Duncan.
Yeah, did you have a question for Michael Mountain? You're on the air.
Oh, yes, I do. I can speak to Michael right now?
Yes, you're on the air with him right now. Do you have a question for him?
Michael, it's an honor to speak with you. And for listeners who are interested in knowing the history, I think the book Angel Canyon is still available.
You can get it from Best Friends, in fact, on our website at bestfriends.org. It's a book that was written by one of our members called Best Friends, The True Story of the World's Most Beloved Animal Sanctuary. It's it's a fun book, slightly romantic in nature, but great fun. And there are others as well. There were books that, that we had that were produced about the Katrina rescue also, and one that's just coming out in a couple of weeks' time, which is called Dogtown. And it is like it's sort of a companion book in a sense to the TV show that's produced by National Geographic.
Well, I very much enjoyed Angel Canyon, the book. And I bought quite a few for people. Every chapter was just a joy to read.
Great.
Well, thanks so much for your call. I appreciate that.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. And let's take another call here. Hi, you're on WMNF on Talking Animals with Michael Mountain of Best Friends.
Yeah, you got a great show there.
Oh, thanks. Do you have a question or a comment for Michael?
Well, you know, I mean, it's kind of a general comment, and I think it really we should mention this book, Animal Liberation, by Peter Singer. I like the real issue I see is that people just don't seem to have any empathy, sympathy, or the ability to feel the suffering and pain of other organisms, including their own species. I think a lot of times in the animal rights and animal cruelty debate, you know, the advocates for animals assume that most people have natural empathy, sympathy, and just that kind of a feeling you get even when somebody says to me they just had their teeth drilled. I get like a chill in my body that can feel the pain of what that feels like. But I've noticed when I hear people talking about eating meat or rodeos or the slaughter of animals or all kinds of cruelty, even the Iraq War, et cetera, I get the feeling that people's hearts are becoming very cold. And I think that we have to recognize that a great percentage of our fellow humans really don't have the ability to feel the pain of other organisms anymore. They've blocked their hearts out, especially organisms that aren't human. And I think that we need to really contextualize these conversations. And I'd like to hear what other listeners as well as your guests have to say about that.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your call. Michael, did you want to respond to that?
Yeah. I think he makes a real interesting point, and I don't think it's that people don't have that empathic response. I think that we live and we just see this more and more and more in an extremely stressed out society these days where everything and everybody is pulled in all sorts of directions, and gradually you just kind of shut down. But what we saw in Hurricane Katrina, for example, was that people really, really do care about at least their own animals. I mean, people were heartbroken to be leaving them behind. It led to a whole new federal law in relation to what happens to animals in disasters. And what we really need to do is just to tap into that response that people actually do have. Now, that may sound a teeny bit Pollyanna-ish, but in fact, when people have the chance, a real chance, to make the connection, just starting with their companion animals, then things really do open up. we've been seeing this a whole lot just recently in the foreclosure crisis, where animals, again, are being left behind by people who actually desperately do care, but they care so much. I mean, it's just such an incredibly painful thing that you simply shut down your emotions and sort of hope for the best and hope that the shelter will take care of them. So, yes, whether it's that or you see the same thing in the Iraq war, where, again, you know, a lot of people just simply shut down because it's just too much to cope with.
Sure. And in light of that, Michael, I'd be curious if you've seen any really sort of dramatic increase in either the animals being brought to Best Friends or people at least seeking to place them there.
You mean out of the foreclosure crisis?
Well, yeah, and or that, or as you alluded to, also people that you know are obviously contending
right.
with serving in Iraq or otherwise, and may not be able to care for their animals the way they would ideally like to.
We do see that, but there is also some really much bigger, if you like, good news, which is that over the last 15 years, I mean, when Best Friends was in its early days, say around the early 1990s. There were 15 million dogs and cats being killed in shelters every year. That number is now way down to just over 4 million. So this has been a huge advance, and it's really all about people getting the idea of adopting from shelters and getting their own pets spayed or neutered, which, again, is just really critically important. And as I say, that has just brought the numbers down by 10 million a year, which is huge. There's still, you know, there's still a ways to go on this, but it's a very good sign.
Absolutely. Well, let me just let our listeners know this is a special edition of Talking Animals on WMNF. If you just joined us, we're speaking with Michael Mountain, president, one of the founders of Best Friends Animal Society. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask Michael a question or offer a comment, please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Now, and one thing that I'm sure you're probably a little too modest to include in that last comment is that a lot of that drop in the numbers of animals that are, you know, unfortunately having to be facing euthanization and just the obviously related number of being adopted are sort of related to efforts that you and Best Friends have sort of spearheaded. Maybe you could talk for a moment about the No More Homeless Pets movement.
Yeah, this actually began for me, and it's an interesting story in itself because I'd never really thought about it that much. I mean, we came into this kind of as amateurs, as it were, and back in 1992, one very hot summer's day, there was a German couple who was honeymooning at the Grand Canyon, and they'd come across another cat and her three kittens who'd been abandoned there, and they were directed to Best Friends, and they came racing in this hot afternoon, and we got to talking, and they were asking me about Best Friends, and they suddenly looked at me in complete horror, and they said, "You mean in this country they kill homeless animals?" And I looked at them and said, "Well, duh." and they looked at me and said, "In our country, it is illegal to kill a homeless animal." And it was true. It takes actually three veterinarians signing off saying that this dog or cat has no quality of life, it's terminally sick or whatever, before you can even do that in some European countries. And then I was talking to a veterinarian who was visiting here from Sweden. And I said to her, just trying to follow up on this, you know, because this had really kind of just taken my attention. And I said to her, "Well, Dr. Cecilia, where you grew up, what was it like for homeless animals?" And she said, "Oh, in my country, a person would no more give up their dog than they would give up their Mercedes," which was kind
wow.
of a funny thing to say.
Sure.
And this set us all to thinking that this whole notion that we'd had that this was just some necessary evil, that there was just too many homeless pets out there, could actually be done something about. And that set up the whole no-kill movement. And there were other people, obviously, thinking the same thing in different ways around the country. But, yes, this whole movement just kind of really took hold all through the 1990s and just made a huge difference. Absolutely. I'm just delighted that we were able to be a major part of that.
Well, I definitely have a question, too. I'd like to follow up on that, but we've got a bunch of folks on the phone trying to speak with you, Michael. So, hi, you're on WMF on Talking Animals with Michael Mountain of Best Friends.
Hi, my name is Celeste, and once again, Duncan, you're bringing one of the best people on the planet to Tampa Bay's airways.
Well, thank you very much. I think everybody's flattered by that statement. Thank you.
Thank you. The reason I'm calling, I wanted to ask Michael a little bit about the programs that Best Friends that have teaching for people who are interested in doing rescue work. I understand there's some training programs there.
Yes, we do. And, in fact, coming up in October of this year, we have our next twice-a-year No More Homeless Pets Conference. And this year it's in Las Vegas, and you can see it on our website or just email in and get information about it. But we run a whole series of workshop-type things here at the sanctuary, like how to start your own sanctuary. And people come here for a week and spend time with the animals, and in many cases learn that this, you know, is a lot more work than necessarily they bargained for, so they start other local programs. Down in Tampa there, in fact, you've got that whole No More Homeless Pets group operating down there, and there have been just many organizations that have got going out of the work that we do at our conferences here.
And your journal is wonderful. I get your magazine. It's very well done, and it's full of laughs and happiness, as well as very touching stories. Thank you.
We have a lot of fun with it.
Bye.
Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, that is a great magazine. Again, I want to remind folks that you find out about all kinds of stuff that we've touched on and things that we may not get to before our time is up. Bestfriends.org is the website. And, Michael, I just want to take one more kind of at least conversational sort of gambit about the No More Homeless Pets movement, because there's at least one high-profile animal organization that seems to maintain a pretty different philosophy on the overpopulation of these animals and euthanizing them. And people...
yes, which one could you be talking about?
Okay, so it might be PETA, but, people and groups, of course, can agree to disagree. I'm just wondering, how does a major view, or at least a view held by a major organization that's sort of the flip side of Best Friends and just the general No More Homeless Pets kind of philosophy affect the public perception of this issue and the inroads of the No More Homeless Pets movement?
Well, of course it does. And I should say that we have, the greatest respect for both PETA and the Humane Society of the United States and the work that they do. PETA in particular has in our terms, made a really major difference to public consciousness about the kind of things that your earlier caller was talking about there,
mm-hmm.
just not really caring what happens to the animals. In this area of homeless pets, we just would say to them that they need to do what they do best, and we all need to do what we do best. And the fact that the numbers of animals being killed in the shelters has dropped so dramatically over the years makes it perfectly obvious that this is working, and that we all need to do the things that we need to do, which is adopt from shelters and get our pets spayed and neutered. And if we keep doing that, the numbers will soon enough get down to somewhere close to zero. So they really don't, there really isn't anything to argue about on this one.
Sure. It's just continuing to agree to disagree, I guess, on the sort of fundamental aspect of it. So this is Talking Animals on WMNF. We're speaking with Michael Mountain of Best Friends Animal Society. If you'd like to join the conversation, we have a few more minutes. Please call 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.org. Well, one thing I think, just because it seems to have popped up in the news again lately and just generally, I think people would be interested to find out more about sort of how the Michael Vick dogs, or at least many of them, 20 some odd, I think, came to Best Friends, and sort of what initially happened. To what extent can dogs that are obviously been trained to fight that way be rehabilitated, and what's going on with them at the moment?
Yeah, well, I guess it also goes slightly back to your question in relation to PETA and the Humane Society of the United States, who both recommended that all of the dogs in that case be killed, and frankly, we just thought that was completely, just totally the wrong message to send to the American public, that you have this very high-profile court case, that the people who are convicted go to prison, and the victims then get executed. I mean, that just doesn't make any sense to us, whatever. And all of the debate about whether the dogs are rehabilitatable or not is actually entirely theoretical, because nobody's ever tried to do this in any serious way before. And that was exactly why we went to the court on this and said, look, let us take these dogs and see what can be done with them. There were about 47 in all. 25 of them were deemed perfectly okay to go to foster homes and other rescue groups. And there were 22 quite difficult ones, mainly fear more than anything else. And just really seriously abused, completely traumatized dogs from these terrible situations that they'd been in. And they've been with us now for about almost 6 months. And the difference is just completely chalk and cheese.
Yeah.
But it is slow progress. I mean, just giving them a toy, they look at it at first like it's something that's arrived from outer space. I mean, they were kept, you know, in appalling conditions. They had absolutely no access to play or fun or socialization or people or anything like that. So, you know, it's just like a child who's been taken out of, you know, some awful slavery or something. It takes time, but they're doing great.
Sounds like it was just among other things, just total deprivation in terms of what kind of, you know, experiences they could have or, you know. So Michael, realistically, given that those were, you know, obviously some of the ones that were the most abused or sort of in the toughest spot when they came to you, I mean, what percentage, if any, will be in a position, do you think, to be adopted out? Or are they sort of now going to be permanent residents at Best Friends?
Some almost certainly will be okay for adoption, mm-hmm. and again to the right places. I mean, you don't take a dog and just stick him into a, you know, an apartment with lots of other dogs and cats and lots of people next door and all of that kind of thing. It's a matter of finding the right homes for them. But the most important part of this, from our point of view, is that again we have to draw a line in the sand somewhere and say, you know, the killing stops here. And when you get a really high profile case like that, you don't just tell the whole wide world out there that, you know, it's impossible to do anything else except kill them all.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but yes, those who need a home for life will have it here, and a very good one.
Sure, absolutely. No, I mean, from what I've seen, I got to get there one of these days, but it certainly looks like a place I'd like to hang out, you know, for sure. We're just probably got maybe 1 minute left here, Michael. So I've got calls holding and some emails. One of the emails says, "You guys at Best Friends are so great. Thank you for all the work you do. How do you keep your spirits up when dealing with such hard cases?" Meaning, obviously, you know, Michael Vick dogs and other things that do have to step in on.
Oh, it's an interesting thing on that. You know, when you're actually working hands-on with the animals, it's not depressing. What's depressing and upsetting to people is when they hear things that they can't do anything about. But when you can do something about it, then it makes it all different. And that's why we recommend, you know, to everybody at home, do go and adopt another, you know, furry friend from the shelter. Do go and help out at the local shelter and or in whatever other way. And it really, you know, you'll always come back from it feeling better.
Well, there you go, and I think that's a perfect note to end on. So, Michael, thank you again for joining us on Talking Animals. This has been Michael Mountain, president, one of the founders of Best Friends Animal Society, the website, which is chock full of all kinds of information, things we didn't get to, including a program you announced today in L.A. that people can track down and all kinds of other stuff, bestfriends.org. Thanks again, Michael, for all your great work and for joining us today on Talking Animals.
Real pleasure. Thanks very much.
Thank you. All right, I'm Duncan Strauss, in for Rob Lori, and you're listening to Talking Animals, where the show website is talkinganimals.net, which I hope you'll visit to sign up for our email newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, check out our MySpace. Maybe you'd like to become our friend. And you can also check out past guest info, peruse some of our written pieces, and more. That's all found on talkinganimals.net. It's time to proceed to name that animal tune. There'll be a prize, a copy of The Art of Racing in the Rain, the terrific new novel by our guest last week, Garth Stein, to the first person who calls in, 813-239-9663, and correctly identifies this animal tune. It's named an animal tune, Talking Animals. Can you name that animal tune?
That's Baby Elephant Walk.
That is correct. What is your first name, sir?
Jim.
Jim? Okay, cool. I'm going to come get your info at the next opportunity, if you don't mind holding, and we will send you a copy of The Art of Racing in the Rain. It's a great book that people have been loving, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it as well.
You.
Thanks for calling. Thanks for listening. All right, so in just a moment, we're going to have a very brief chat with Linda Hamilton of the Animal Coalition of Tampa, and about Trapper Tuesday. Terrific program underway there this month. But first, before we hear from a local organization, I think we should hear a locally created animal song, one that got short shrift last week when we sort of ran short on time, having a little technical difficulties. So from Clearwater's own Joel Melizia, this is his own cool animal offering called I Love My Dog on Talking Animals here on WMNF.
Look at her face. To look away would be a huge disgrace. No matter what your canine tastes, all she wants is to be with me. Look at my dog, she looks so pretty in her tiny shirt. She's so crazy, she's a hairy squirt. All she wants is to be with me. I love my dog. My dog loves me. I love my dog. My dog loves me. Look at my face, y'all. I really mean no disrespect.
Okay, cool.
Your sweet,
but
she's so perfect, and all she wants is to be with me. Look at my dog. No, really, people, look at her, man. Look
okay,
at her. She's
right
so
now?
Pretty. She's so crazy. I love my dog.
Okay.
My dog loves me. I love my dog.
All right, we'll send you off the book shortly. I think
my
you'll enjoy it. Thanks for
loves
playing.
Me.
Okay, unfortunately, Joe, I'm sorry. I got to scoot. I got to get jump back on the air. I'm so sorry. Thanks, though. That's Joel Melizia from Clearwater with I Love My Dog. So, and now we want to welcome Linda Hamilton, from Executive Director of the Animal Coalition of Tampa, just for a quick couple minutes on Trapper Tuesday. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Duncan.
Welcome back to Talking Animals. So
thank you.
Let's give us the skinny. What is this and how does it work?
Well, this is one of our specials. It's our special for July. We try to keep in touch with what people are wanting, and one of the biggest things that we've got requests for now is how to spay and neuter all those cats that are running around outside that really aren't pets. So we call it our Trapper Tuesday. Some of them are feral and wild and crazy, and some of them have just been left behind. But we do require that any cats that come to us on Tuesday be in a trap. And surgery for Trapper Tuesdays is only $10.
Now that's a deal.
That's a deal.
In this economy right now, we're looking for deals, and that's definitely one of them. So we only have maybe another minute or so, Linda, just for a quick little overview here. So where would people go, and how would they find out more information?
Probably the easiest way is our internet site.
Okay.
AC Tampa.
Okay.
Like an Animal Clinic Tampa.
Okay.
.org.
Cool.
There's a menu item there at the top. It's called Specials and Grants. Click on that. And it'll give you everything you need to know about the July special. And keep in touch with that area there, too, because every month we have something new going on.
And for people who may or may not have access easily to a computer, can we say 813-250-3900 number would be another path to find out more?
That's a good one.
Okay, great. So it's Trapper Tuesday, every Tuesday in July, and perhaps beyond, from what I gathered from what you were telling me yesterday.
As long as our funds last. Thanks to the generosity of PetSmart Charities.
That's so great, Linda. Well, okay, this has been Linda Hamilton, Executive Director of Animal Coalition of Tampa, past guest on Talking Animals. But when I saw this, I thought this would be nice to kind of just give a quick live update rather than just read a little press release. So thanks again for all that you do, Linda. And again, it's actampa.org or 813-250-3900.
Thanks for helping us pass the word.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay, we've just about reached the end of today's special edition of Talking Animals on WMNF Tampa. Ordinarily, the program airs twice a month, specifically the first and second Wednesday of each month at 11:30 a.m. So we'll be back again Wednesday, August 6th, and I hope you'll join us then. I hope you also visit our website, talkinganimals.net. And where we'll all kinds of information, the iTunes podcasts, information on past guests, pieces we've written, stuff that's been written about us, the whole shebang, the whole nine yards, if I may. So that's talkinganimals.net. And while you're there, please sign up for our email newsletter so we can keep you posted on all kinds of show info, stuff about guests, who knows what else. So thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind, animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I want to thank Rob Lloyd for allowing me to sit in for him. He'll be back here next week. Tomorrow, Mitch Perry will be in for Rob, featuring an interview with Rick Perlstein, author of the acclaimed new political book, Nixon Land. And stay tuned for Harrison Nash and his fabulous rhythm and blues extravaganza, which we're going to lead into by closing out this edition of Talking Animals, as always, with an animal song. This is Aaron McCoyan with Blackbirds right here on WMNF Tampa. Catch you next time.
4 and 20 blackbirds perched on the mill house floor. 4 and 20 blackbirds perched on the mill house floor. Watching a pair of blackbirds more. 4 and 20 blackbirds perched on the mill house floor. One blackbird to the other, you must be my queen. So one blackbird to the other said, so you must be my queen. Well, the other replied in turn, well, sure enough, you're my king. 4 and 20 blackbirds and two began to sing. Riches baked in a honey pie. Stick your finger in and taste it on the sly. Sing a song of sixpence and a pocket full of rye. But now the queen, she asked that question, what makes the mill house rare? The king replied in turn, well, tonight it's you so fair. 4 and 20 blackbirds that you bake themselves to care. Fly away, you dainty dish, your two blackbirds flew upstairs. Through. When that sun had risen, yeah, yeah, the rhyming, it was through. 4 and 20 blackbirds had rhymed that whole night through. Fly away to blackbirds with nothing left to prove. just to fly away. Bitter that taste left behind, the lonesome heart astray. Pity not that blackbird, the blackbird who must stay. I haven't tasted blackbird pie baked and on display. Watching a pair of blackbirds, watching a pair of blackbirds, a pair of blackbirds more.